Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today to your word. We ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit may just open our mind and our heart to be able to hear, Lord. To be able, Lord, to put it to work in us, in our life. Lord, to produce fruit there. Thank you, Lord, that we know in it, Lord, we have all the direction and the understanding that we need. We just, Lord, ask you to help us so, Lord, it may be effective and powerful in our life to become the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to talk about one way at least that the Lord deals with us. Last week I was preaching how to receive from God. And now Jesus said, give us instruction. And, you know, that's a big topic. And after I finished preaching the things, you know, the following Tuesday morning, the Lord woke me up. And as usual, he has something to say. And he told me, next week, you had to teach on this, and you better do it. So I said, yes, sir. Because, you know, the reason why he was saying that to me is because nobody preaches about it. And instead, probably it's the one of the most important thing for us to understand. And if we, just because it's not popular today, you know, the problem is the time we're in. Because people don't like to hear what they need to hear. So he wanted to make sure that I cover it. And so we learn to understand, okay, how important that is and how important it's been in the Word all the time, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Okay. You know, and it's really to learn how to God deals with us to help us in certain areas, okay, that we may not like to hear, okay. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, says there, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Actually, the word there is teach, teach to children. Okay, therefore, be zealous and repent. Now, this is topic, I really think, probably the scripture nobody uses. But, you know, God always uses stuff that nobody uses because he has something he wants to tell us. Okay, and really the important thing to understand, okay, that there are problems in us that sometimes we don't hear things. Okay, because we are fixed on some things, okay, that are not really the things he's fixed on. The things he really cares, because are the things that are going to produce the greater impact and results in our life. Okay, and he knows that, okay, and Jesus pointed out that very clearly when I read the scripture to you last week, you know, when he was talking to the Pharisees. Okay, and the Pharisees were completely contrary, completely opposing what he was saying. Okay, they were just negative about the whole message that he was communicating and what he was representing. Okay, and he said to them in John chapter 8, okay, verse 47, said, and who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. And actually told them that you are from the devil, which was really going to be very familiar with them. Very, very, they would receive that very, very, very much likely, say, oh, hallelujah, you know, this is a good preaching. You know, that's what happens. See, that we have to understand, okay, that this is often the problem because there are some hindrances for us to receive, okay? The thing, the bottom line is that God wants to bless us, God wants to minister to us, God wants to set us free. But sometimes we have problem receiving what he has wanted to do with us because we don't understand. Because we are caught up in our own thinking, in our own needs, in our own ideas. Okay? See, we cannot receive from God what we cannot hear him talking to us. That's very important to understand. If we don't hear him some certain area, that is going to block us from being able to receive from him anything that he wants to give us. Okay, so we have to understand that, okay, and we have to understand that we better learn to listen to what God is saying, okay? We need to receive his direction, okay? And especially today, in the time we are in, okay, we are in the last time. You know, we're going to all more or less agree on that, but the implication of that is that not everybody understand what is the impact on us of that particular situation we are in. Okay, we have to understand that. Okay, and the bottom line, okay, that there is a lot of false teaching that is spread in the last day. This is very clearly explained in the epistles and even in the gospels. Okay, so that's one of the reasons, you know, and we tend naturally to want to be right, which is not completely wrong in itself. The thing is wrong when we apply the wrong way, when we justify ourselves instead of being open to what God wants to say to us. Okay, we have to understand that this is the normal tendency that we have, and we tend, another thing to do is to blame others. Okay, it's never our fault. It's somebody made us do it. The devil made us do it. Or my parents made me do it because they did that with me that way. Or, you know, my boss, you know, is really, and we complain about other people. And, you know, when we don't have anybody else to complain, then we blame God. Say, why God, don't you do that to me? And that's the worst thing you can do to be able to receive. Because he is the one that wants to, more than you want, to help you. Okay? But, you know, it's not easy to convince. Because everything he wanted to do, he has already done. And what we had to do is to line up ourselves with his approach, his ideas, and then we are going to get his results. Okay, that's the thing. Okay, so this is true from the very beginning. I mean, even in the Old Testament and the New Testament, absolutely nothing has changed. Okay, in Deuteronomy it was very clear when he said in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14, you know, but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. So this is really the answer that he was giving them at the beginning to direct them in the right thing. Go to the word. Okay. So, you know, and it's not far. You don't have to run to places. You don't have to go to special place to get it. You know, just if you have the word, you have everything that you need. Okay. Praise the Lord. And said, I have set before you life and God, good, death and evil. Okay, this is really, okay, the solution that the word gives us. Okay. And we, you know, have to learn to apply that to ourselves and to recognize the direction that the Lord has given us. Okay. Now, Jesus went and expanded even that on the scripture that I also read last week. And we are starting from here. So I want to have a basis on which we are going to build up. Yeah. Okay. It says, you know, for the heart of these people have grown dull, their ears are hard to hearing, and their eyes, they are closed, lest, you see, they are closed. It's not God closes their eyes. You know, sometimes, you know, people take word from the Old Testament, doesn't understand the way the Hebrew work, and so they make up things, you know, God closes the eyes. No, God doesn't close any eyes. The eyes you close because you choose to do so. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with what? With their heart, and that's where the problem is, turn, and so that I should heal them. I mean, that would resolve all the problems. Healing is not just a question of physical healing here. This is a made you whole, you know, together, not fragmented, not messed up, not sick, not frustrated, not having trouble, but finding the solution for the things according to his way. Okay, which is not the way of the world. Okay, so this, you know, Jesus pointed out this, and by the reason Jesus pointed out this is because people needed to understand that his desire was to help them and to heal them, but the fact that they couldn't get it wasn't his problem, wasn't his fault. He did everything that he could do to the point of dying on the cross for them so that they would be forgiven and, dealt with, be able to dealt with all the situation. But it's not just a question of them, you know, being resolved by Jesus. We have a part in receiving. We have the part in, you know, aligning ourselves with him. Okay? That's what makes all the difference. Okay? And today, more than ever, that applies to ourselves. Okay? Because of what 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says. We talked about the time we are in. And the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desire. You see, that's the problem. Always is the desire component. Because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers. That turn, you know, that they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. So the idea is exactly what is happening today, in which the, you know, the word is being used to achieve materialistic things and things of the world instead of being used to be transformed into his image. We have to understand that. We have to recognize that. And if we don't see it, you better start looking at it. Because this is exactly what is going on, and this is why the church is becoming corrupted. If you believe it or not. You can't even sing anymore Christian songs. Because their theology is off, and even the music is off. The point is, we get used to the environment we are in, and we get sucked in easily to that kind of mentality. Now, you know, if you go to many churches or you go to a nightclub, the atmosphere is completely the same. The same type of strobe light, the same light. You're never going to get that here. If you look for that, better look for another place because you're not going to get it. We are not a nightclub. We are a worship place. And a worship place worship God, not lust. Okay? So that, you know, that may be a very popular type of a statement. The point is, you know, Jesus was exactly in the same position for his ministry. When he was doing things, you know, feeding everybody, you get crowds. When he was teaching about it, unless you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, you know, people were leaving him. At the end, he didn't have anybody. He said, "You even leave me?" Talking to the disciples. He knew what he was doing. He was doing on purpose. Unless you do intentionally these things, and instead you intentionally try to sell the things of the world, you know, people won't like it. And they just because of their ignorance, because they don't understand. Because they don't understand the difference between spiritual things and fleshy things, carnal things. Now, there is one thing that really the things that God told me to preach about, I haven't even started there, okay, is that really what we can see and the things that he stresses all the time is the Word is where we are going to get direction. We have to go to the Word to find out the truth. And we have to go to the Word and be open to it, to with our heart, to be able even to get what it's saying. Okay? We have to understand those things. And when you understand those things and we are open, okay, then we are going to get direction. Then we are going to hear from God. Then we are going to be, you know, receiving the proper message that resonates with our spirit and not our flesh. Okay? Now, the way God is, we said, we're singing before, holy, okay? That means separated from the physical world, from the worldly things, okay? But the fact that he's holy means, you know, that he's different from the things of the world. Okay, that he expects us, if we sanctify ourselves, if we become holy, also to become that way. Okay, not just to be religious, but to be really connected with the truth. Okay, so the Pharisees were very religious, and they were very priggish, you know, detailed about stuff, but they just missed it completely. And they were really fleshy. Because they couldn't stand what Jesus was talking about. Because he was talking about not their kingdom, their nations, and their things. They were talking about his kingdom and his world. The kingdom of God. And saying, it's already within you. And that's not what the things that they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear the Romans to be kicked off from their country. That there was not one place in which Jesus preached against the Roman. Not even Paul. There was probably in one of the times, there was the worst political situation that there have been around. Nero was on. The guy was completely nuts. Anyway, that shows something for us today too, but I'm not going to get into that. Okay. So, I was saying God is loving God. He loves us and he wants to bless us. But God is not just loving. And not everybody, you know, think about God is good. Everybody say, yes. You know, next time, you know, the next day they don't get what they want and they get mad with God. You know, I find this pretty funny. But anyway, you know, the thing is, God is good, okay? And, you know, he has a plan for us. And he wants to see that plan implemented, okay? And what he does, okay, he has prepared everything. He doesn't just work, you know, the way we think. He has created the whole universe, and he's a God of order. A God of order is somebody that organizes things so that everything works properly. He created spiritual and physical law that cannot be broken. When miracles happen, it's not because you know, the physical law or whatever are broken, is because there are some spiritual law that overcome that. And that's more powerful. Okay. The idea is that, you know, these laws are regulating everything, and one of the laws is the law of sowing and reaping. if we like it or not. I mean, whatever we do, you know, there are going to be a consequence of what's going to go through. And God has provided way for us to help us in dealing with the situation, and He is there to help us along the way to be able to do and succeed in receiving from Him for the blessing that has prepared for us. Okay? This is really His plan. But the thing is, there is still those things in place. And one of the things that, He says very clear in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, talking always about walking in the Spirit, walking in the flesh. You walk in the Spirit, that is life. The life of God is operating in you. You walk in the flesh, that is death. That means, you know, there is going to be negative consequences for us. So we had to learn to recognize when we are walking what, in which way. Okay? And it's not, you know, walking in the flesh sometimes feels pretty good because that's really what we want, you know, our fleshy desire. But it's not producing good results. And so we have to understand that and let us, you know, direct ourselves in the way God wants us to. Okay? God loves us. He says, but do not grow weary, okay, of while we are doing good. For in due time, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So you see the question of holding on, believing, and standing on what the Word of God says. Okay. That's very important. You know, teaching in Christianity is so wrong about some of this stuff. You know, for example, there is the big idea, lots of believers believe, you know, your minister believes that once saved, always saved. There is nothing more unscriptural than that statement. It always my scripture, my Bible says, you know, you have to hold on to the end. You see? The point is, some ideas are spread and people accept them because they like them, because it fits with their flesh. And that doesn't help them. That's a problem. Okay? So we have to understand that God wants to have a relationship with us and guide us for us to receive more and more from Him. And one of the things that He put in place and is identified very well, even in the Old Testament, is the fear of the Lord. And we have to understand what the fear of the Lord is. You know, and people today always preach about against fear and say, you know, fear is such a terrible thing. Well, the invention of fear was not theirs. Was God. It can be a negative thing and it can be a positive thing. If you are in the middle of the street and you see a car running, speeding toward you, and you say, oh, you know, I'm not fear of anything, stay there in the middle, you're going to get trashed. You're an idiot because I'm not afraid of anything. Hello? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Okay? There is things that we should be fearing. And Jesus Himself said what we have to fear. Okay? And so we have to understand that what is not that we are afraid of God. The fear of the Lord is not that we are afraid that God is good. You know, God has done everything that He can do to minister to us. We don't need to beg Him about anything. The fact that we beg Him about stuff shows that we don't understand His character. God has done everything that He could do to bless us beyond our understanding. But the only thing it is, and He just doesn't move an inch, is the fact that you have to go His way, not your way. Okay? When we understand that, then we save lots of time and we get many more results. Okay? Praise the Lord. Pray. I don't need many praising, but that's really, you know, something that we have to start doing, because that's when we start praising the Lord. No matter what the circumstances are, then our position changes because we start opening up to believing in His goodness. Okay? Now, you know, when your situation is dangerous, if you are not fearful, you are a fool. That's what Proverbs says. Okay? And I'm not going to go to all the detail because otherwise here you're going to preach on this for the next 2 months. No, we are going to preach today so that we clarify some things that need to be clarified. Okay? But what we have to fear about is missing God. Is really not hearing him saying and giving us the direction that we need. We have to be listening so that we put to play in place and we start working on the things that he tells us to do. Because as we do that, we are going to be successful. And it's going to be the only way you're going to be successful. You're not going to be successful by just keep doing the same thing that you were doing before necessarily. Okay. It's by doing what he planned for you to do that is going to make all the difference. Okay. Being overconfident in danger is foolishness. Okay. And we can do that in many different ways. So now, okay, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, this is something that is interesting. Okay. In verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord God requires of you? But to one, fear the Lord your God. That's a requirement that he has. And to walk in his ways. And to love him, and then as a result of that, as you walk in his way and you fear the Lord, then you're going to have the consequence of that, that you're going to love him, serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. You know, otherwise, you're not going to be able to do that because you are not going to have a good experience of God. The way you see God is the way you are going to experience him. Okay. And so you have to start experiencing his blessing and his love toward you and receive his direction before you are going to get that. Okay. Then the following verse, and to keep his commandment, the commandments of the Lord and his statutes that I command you today. This good, for your good. For your good. See, it's always his intention, his desire is not to make your life difficult. It's for your good. Because he loves you. Okay? So he's not going to impose anything that doesn't need to be imposed. He doesn't going to ask you anything that you cannot do. Because he's smart enough to know that if you cannot do it, you cannot do it. And since they find so difficult even to apply the law, he had to send Jesus to do half of the job for us, probably 3/4 of the job for us. We had to get align ourselves with him. So, now, that's our starting point. Okay. So the idea, you know, that we shall love your God, again, you know, in verse 20, repeat the same thing. And this is repeated over and over and over again in the Old Testament. And it's not that it's not repeated in the New Testament. It's like exactly the same thing in many different places. Okay, for you know, continuing the Old Testament, chapter 10, verse, or Deuteronomy chapter 20 says, you shall fear the Lord your God, and you shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast. Okay, that's the thing you had to do, because sometimes things don't go exactly the way you want it, because you are in this world. Okay, and to take oaths in his name. And for he is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. And hopefully your eyes have seen, if you haven't seen it for yourself, see it in the Old Testament, the New Testament, in the Bible, and that is going to be sufficient to, you know, open up your eyes to the truth. Okay? That's why we have the Word. Okay? and then goes on. Okay, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So you see, that's where he's instructing us, he's directing us, okay, that the fear of the Lord, where we are sensitive, when we are in wait for God to direct us and to instruct us and to show us the things that we have to understand. And this is important to know, the fact that the things that we have to understand, and later on, okay, there is enough explanation in the Old Testament that we should be able to grasp on what he's trying to tell us. Okay. Because we need to actually have some spiritual discernment for us even to be able to accept these things. We need to hear what God is saying to us. Okay? Now, in Psalm 103, see, the problem is that we often think that we know everything. That we know everything we need to know. Okay? Nobody thinks that they know everything. But they think we know everything. You know, we read the Bible, we do all these things. You know, the point is, you know, when, I give you an example, when David loved the Lord. Do you agree on that? He was connected with the Lord. Okay, he received lots of things from the Lord. He fought Goliath and won a big victory that in representing all the nation of Israel. But one morning he was there in his kingdom, in his palace, and looked out of the window and he saw something that he liked. He was the king, he can have everything. And he did. And he did even worse than that. He got rid of anything that he was in contrary the way. You know, what was the matter with him? Didn't he realize that something he was doing and thinking was wrong? He knew it all. Why didn't he figure that out before? He just did everything that he wanted to do the wrong way. And he wasn't even feeling guilty. This guy loved the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? Okay. The prophet had to go there and put him against the wall for him to even recognize that he had done something wrong. Then he realizes it. Hello? Now, it's quite unlikely you are going to have a prophet comes to you and put you against the wall and tell you, you know, look what you did. Very unlikely. It can happen by mistake, but that's not the way. See, that's not the way it works today. Because prophets today do not supposed to do that job. The one that's supposed to do that job is the Holy Spirit that was put inside you. Hello? See, and sometimes we have problem even listening to that. I've been in a situation in which I knew that that was actually taking place in one of the meetings I was part of. I knew the people and I know what the prophet was all about. Probably the one that was prophesied didn't know what he was doing, but I knew the person that was referring to. He didn't do anything. It was a very similar situation of David. This guy was referring to was actually a leader. What I'm saying to you that sometimes we just don't hear. We need actually to become sensitive to recognize that we can miss the Lord, even with our best intention. And we shouldn't be so positive about thinking that we are invincible, because nobody is invincible. And those that are fool enough to think that they're invincible generally end up falling. And I know many. Now, let me continue here. The thing is, you see, in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, this is repeated over and over and over again. The fact that we had to be sensitive to the fear of the Lord, because that's the way we are going to be directed properly. It's not by thinking positively that we are going to be succeeding. It's by thinking righteously. Okay? For example, to see another scripture is Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is all about, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, bless the Lord, you know, all the benefit. I forget not his benefits. So you think about all his benefits and the all good things that, yeah, and forget anything else, correction, you're going to get off. I assure you. That's what happens all the time. The same way it happened with David. Okay? Now, it says here, if you go just after the few verses, all the blessing that God gave us. Okay? And I am sure you remember the blessing. That's the part that, you know, keeps us, part that keeps us motivated. But if you only want to be motivated by positive thing, you're missing the boat. There is the negative dangers that you can be in, that especially if you're following the Lord and the enemy is coming after you to make you fall and to put you in situation that put you into danger, and you don't do anything and you fall into the trap. There it says there in Psalm 103 verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Okay, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed their transgression from us. Verse 13, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Again, fear him all the time. Okay, we had to realize that we had to be, you know, aware that we can miss the Lord when we get so caught up in the things that we want. Like David. That's specifically is one area very good to be caught up in and be trapped. Okay, but anyway, that's one of them. Not the only one. There are other ones very similar. So, let's continue here. Verse 17. Okay, the same Psalm. Psalm 103. But the mercies of the Lord is for everlasting to everlasting to those who fear him. Okay. Where am I? Yeah. Fear him. And his righteousness to his children. And say, oh, you see, all my children are protected. Wait a minute. Let's read the following verses. To such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his covenant to do them, or to commandment to do them. Again, you see, there is always that theme there, you know, that we had to keep his instruction, his direction, to be aware that we can get off. Okay, it's not by confessing, I'm the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. But you are full of the junk, but you don't even know it. See, you have to be aware of the junk is inside you, to reject it and become the righteousness of God. And the only way you can do that is by the revelation of the Holy Spirit showing to you that needs to be changed. If you do it, then yes, you are going to see that manifested. But if you don't do it, you get stuck and you get nowhere. Now, there are scriptures actually point out that exactly. what I'm telling you. Okay. All right. In there are, you know, the importance of having the fear of the Lord, to be aware that we can miss God, no matter how well we are trying. Okay? How much, you know, being zealous doesn't do it. The Pharisees were very zealous. Paul even said that when he was zealous was when he was worse of the old time, was going around killing Christians. And after he got saved, or he got, met the Lord on the way, you know, he became a pain for everybody because he was creating problems for all the believers. He had to let them out of the city because he was creating confusion and trouble, you know. And we are going to see just the scripture about that later on. So the fact that one is zealous doesn't mean anything. Zealousness can become as the result of the flesh. Now, he says the importance in Job 28:28 says, to the man he said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." So really, that's where the understanding comes. That's where wisdom comes. That's where we learn, okay? And it's not to be afraid of God. It's to run to God to get direction, to run to God to get understanding. You know, when we realize there's something we are missing, that's the time you run to God, not run away from God, okay? Praise the Lord. I'm skipping that. See, let me talk about some of the result of having the fear of the Lord so that we see it. In Psalm 19, verse 9, says, "The fear of the Lord is clear." That means, you know, it's cleaning you up. That's the thing that is producing the major cleaning up, the thing. Enduring forever. Okay. "And the judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." So you see, this is really the God's judgment is when our conscience tells us, watch this. That needs to be changed. His judgments are right. Don't put them on the side, "Oh, this is just religion." If he's trying to clean you up, let him clean you up. You'll benefit from the result of it. Let me continue here. Okay, "The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Verse 10. "More to be desired than gold." Yeah, that's much more fine than gold. Okay. "Sweeter also of honey and the honeycomb." So you see, that is what actually is going to produce the best result that you can think, that any materialistic or pleasure thing. He's talking about any, you know, the having pleasure for things and having, you know, the things that we want are not necessarily going to produce the same result than actually listening to God and obeying Him. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm not saying this. This is all over the Bible, New Testament and Old Testament. In the Old Testament, though, was, you know, explained much more. Because in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. We should have experience of the Holy Spirit ourselves to know these things without being taught. Are you still with me? Okay. This is so important. That's why, you know, God woke me up. Because nobody teaches about this. And everybody wants to hear the good things and the benefit of the, you know, good news. The good news are, you know, you follow a God, listen to God, and he's going to bless you. Okay? It's true. He loves you. And he's there ready to pick you up anytime and to put you back on your feet. Let me continue here. Okay, I'm continuing here, Psalm 19, verse 11, following the one I was finishing before. Sweeter than honeycomb, you know, is better than any pleasure you can get in the physical. Okay. Moreover, by them, by the fear of the Lord, by the direction of God, and so on, your servant is warned. The judgment of the Lord. And keeping them, that is a great reward. See, that's the great rewards come from. Praise the Lord. Now, doesn't stop there. There is more. And this is really the part that I find even more interesting and more relevant for us. Okay? It says, you know, who can understand his error? And cleanse me from secret faults. See, he's not talking about things that I keep secret. I really, you know, I think that that is what the way is interpreted all the time. I don't think so. I think that many times we have not a clue of what we are doing wrong. Because we have got initial information from the Holy Spirit. Don't go that way. But we are so keen and so caught up into the things that we keep going. After a while, the Holy Spirit doesn't talk to you anymore and you don't hear it anymore. So you are in the dark and you continue to go in the dark because the Holy Spirit is not going to push. He's not a demon. Demon push, keep pushing until you fall. The Holy Spirit tells you and tells you again and tells you again and slowly keep going quieter and quieter and quieter. And then it says, well, you know, you want to go? Go, you are free. But there are consequences. That's the way God works. Read Romans chapter 1, verse 13 and following. Okay, we have to understand, you cannot learn about God's way of dealing with us just by one scripture. You have to take the old scriptures, put them together, shake them together, and finally when they're mixed enough, you're going to understand what you're talking about. Okay, let me continue here. Okay, secret faults. It's a thing that we don't know, errors that we make. You see, errors are really not conscious sins. You know, secret faults are things that actually we fall in, but we don't even know we are. We feel pretty good about ourselves. Okay. Says here, keep back your servant from presumptuous sin. See what the presumptuous sin is? It's something that you think you're right, and you are completely wrong. Presumption is something that you believe that you are right, but you are not right. All right? Okay. Keep your servant from presumption. Sin, let them not have dominion over me. See, the desire is not for you to do it, but you are too stupid to do any better. I mean, I'm not just you. I'm talking about myself. I know my personal experience on these things, and this is exactly what takes place. That's exactly how the Holy Spirit works with you. When you finally break through and your eyes are open, I say, how can I be so stupid? And instead of flagellating yourself, you should say, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are there to pick me up. Thank you, Lord, that your truth set me free. Thank you, Lord, that I can make just a decision and changes everything because of what Jesus did. Okay, that's where really the key thing, that decision is repentance. What can you do? Okay, so the Lord is good. I mean, can you slow down the fan, please? But you know what I'm telling you is this: it's so important to understand. You know, let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of a great transgression. See, that's when we break through. Okay, this is when we start. Our eyes are open. Okay, the following verse: and this is the key, and this is the wrong teaching that is done today continuously in Christianity. That affects people doing that. Okay, says here, let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, not my sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now what they teach you is just meditate on all the promises so that you are going to get them. That's exactly what you want, to get deceived. Can you see it? Can you read it there? Let the meditation. You know, you don't need to convince God to give you his promises. You want them. Like healing and, you know, have a peace and have everything else working fine in your life. God wants to give you that. But that is the result of you walking in the Spirit and you obeying him. Not the other way around. You start meditating on your desire, you're going to end up like David with Bathsheba. I mean, plenty of people. Lord, you know, I'm tired of my husband. I'm tired of my, you know, give me a new husband. Christians. You must be retarded spiritually to think that way. Okay? The word is very clear about what we have to focus on. You focus on God's will for you. See, that's what you seek for. See, the renewal of the mind is to know what is good and perfect will of God, which actually is to make you, you know, your soul prosper in every way. And all the other physical things are going to fall into place. Today, Christianity is just a projection of the North American dream. There is nothing less false than that. That's why the church is getting nowhere. Okay? So, let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be about doing your will. That's what Jesus did when he said, you know, I can do nothing on myself. I only do what I see my Father doing. Are you following me? I'm not saying anything new to you. I'm just trying to put something out that generally is hidden because the flesh doesn't like to hear it. But we had to deal with the flesh. We had to crucify the flesh so that the Spirit can be alive in us. Praise the Lord. Well, I didn't do what I wanted to do. Okay. But I did quite a bit of it. This is really was an important thing. I haven't got really in the New Testament. There are so many more Old Testament and New Testament that I would talk to, you know. this is God, what God wants to do with us. You know, in Psalm 34:11 says, you know, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you what? The fear of the Lord. Okay, why? Okay, so that man who desire life and loves many days, that he may see good, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. And really, speaking deceit is nothing else than saying things that, you know, adding or deducting things from the word of God. See, we cannot add things to the word of God or remove from it, we had to just say the way it says there. Anything else is deceit. Anything else is false. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I think I covered enough to really show, at least in the Old Testament, how that was described, because there is much more in the Old Testament than the New Testament, but not, there's not that there is less. Okay, actually there is more in the New Testament, because I deal with even things more difficult than the Old Testament was talking about. Praise the Lord. I think we should pray about this. Okay, if in any way or form, you know, this trigger something inside you and you feel that you need to pray about it. You know, I'm not saying that you had to. See, one of the things that we do, naturally, because we listen to preachers and we believe what they're saying and we apply them, that's the wrong thing to do. Anything that you hear, you had to discern, you had to judge by the word, and then you had to do accordingly yourself. You don't do something because somebody else say so. You are responsible for your own soul. When you're going to go before the Lord one day, and you're going to say, well, you know, my preacher said that. I know that my pastor said that. And he said, well, I don't care. You have a free will, and you can have a decision. You can read, hopefully. And then you don't have any excuse. Okay, we need to take responsibility for our own life and our own position before the Lord, because there is no other intermediary. I'm not. You know, Jesus is the only one. He paid already the price for all your mistakes, but you had to align up with him, not with me. Praise the Lord. Amen? Okay, so let's pray together. If there is anything that you want to pray about specifically, then I'm available here to pray with you. But at the moment, you know, in general, we can pray a prayer so that we can actually hear the Lord and we are sensitive to his speaking to us in correction and direction through the Holy Spirit, through the word, through the quickening maybe that takes place when you hear the word preached and so on. All right? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word and the truth that set us free. Today we come together for your Holy Spirit to open our eyes or any area that we need any correction, any understanding, because we look at things in our way instead of your way, that we may be willing to follow you, follow Jesus' example, to do only the things that you see, we see you doing. And Lord, that our heart may be sensitive to your word and the truth, and not the lies and the deception of the enemy that in this day is so common. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your blood that you shed for us, so that we may be able to receive all the good things that you want to give us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.